Well, this is the last Sunday in June, and so we're wrapping up our theme of the month from Centers for Spiritual Living, which, of course, for the entire year is value-based spiritual living, and for this month has been spiritual living through accountability. And the quote from Centers for Spiritual Living is, "We account for our activities, disclose them in a transparent manner, and accept responsibility for our actions and the obligations entrusted to us." And today we're going to talk about absolute accountability. We've been going through this month, the very first Sunday was response. Oh, there you are. Responsibility. The ability to respond rather than to react. Did you notice there's some of that goes on in the world? Have you noticed some of it goes on in your own life? Maybe inside your office or even in your home, in your kitchen. So we learned that Sunday. In fact, we'd already known that, but we reminded each other that Sunday that it's so much more preferable to respond from a place of love and compassion, perhaps taking a breath first before saying a word and letting the divine speak through us rather than the merely human ego reacting in some way. So we got that one down, first Sunday of the month, right? You're good with that now, right? Good, no problems. Excellent. And then the second Sunday, we discussed the open book life. And that was a pretty fun one too, wasn't it, those of you who were here? Because you know that's how I live. And whether I'm at home or in the market or here or teaching a class, and it's so much more delightful simply to be who we are all the time and not try and keep track of what did I say to whom or did I act this way? Shall I put on my ministerial look? Pious? Have you ever seen that on me? Are you expecting that you ever will? Okay, good. So we found the joy of living the open book life, letting God be God in us, as Meister Eckhart said, right? And it's wonderful and so freeing. Then the third Sunday, we focused on conscious creative commitments, learning the joy of committing to ourselves. And one of the things that some of us have been doing here, especially those who were in a certain class we were teaching, was about the purple bands. Anybody doing purple bands? Yes, there you are. They're all over the place. And it's based on a book called The Complaint-Free World. Do you like that idea of a world that has no more complaints? What would we do with ourselves? Oh, wonderful things, believe me. So we wear bracelets sometimes that aren't, they're not to be snapped or anything like that. It's simply if I catch myself beginning to say something unlovely, bless you, if I notice that I might be inclined to say something that would be like telling tales out of school, or if I'm complaining about something that I could easily praise and bless instead, I just take the band off and put it on my other wrist. And the intention is to go 21 days without changing your band. Has anybody made it yet? I see none of our hands going up. You have. Yeah, well, you're being promoted to sainthood then, or at least ascended master. It's a wonderful, mindful practice to just notice when something starts to be delivered and instead choosing, as Emma Curtis Hopkins would say, truth on the tongue. We know the power of our word. And so if we're condemning, if we're criticizing, we're not co-creating this magnificent future for ourselves, for our loved ones, and for the world. So we got that one down, right? And we're committing. We're committing to being the best expressions of ourselves as we can be. And if that's moving the needle, you know, so many points each day, good for us. If we find that, you know, like, we don't believe in competition, but I have a little bit of that with myself, I want to be a little better today than I was yesterday. I want to be truer to my word today than I was yesterday. I want to be learning and growing and experiencing more of this great life more today than I did yesterday. Don't you? Okay, say,
yes,
thank you. That's our motto here for those who are here for the first time. So today, we're going to complete the month of accountability, spiritual living through accountability, with let's be absolutely accountable. Again, moving toward it. Rumi, you know we love Rumi around here. He says, and you, when will you begin that long journey into yourself? That's the journey that we're taking. I realize it's summertime, people are down the shore. I know, I finally got it right, huh? If people are traveling, it's summertime, and that's beautiful. But while we are learning about the world and discovering the beauty of other places and the joy of meeting other people, why don't we discover the beauty within? Why don't we take a little more time for meditation in the morning? And gee, wouldn't it be cool if we did it in the evening before we went to bed too? There's no limit on meditation, on that quiet time. If you have a practice now, great. If you come to our Wednesday meditation, it's wonderful. We will be doing meditation classes again. But you simply can sit quietly. You and I can sit and listen. Just open up our hearts and listen. I am here. I am listening. I am here. I am listening. And the prayer is always to be more of thee and less of me, right? To let that magnificent presence express through us, because we can absolutely depend on it. We can count on it completely. So I have great gratitude, as I was sharing with the kids in We Wisdom this morning, great gratitude for having been raised to know upon what I could depend. Because you can't always count on the people, can you? Not everybody has been raised in the Leave It to Beaver family. And I'm not sure that was so real anyway. Not everybody had the perfect childhood, but isn't it great? I love the saying that it's never too late to have a happy childhood. Because we're always recreating. We reframe the past and move into our healing now. It's complete now, as soon as we drop all the stories. Are we still telling all the stories? Are we moving into co-creating a new one, a truer one? Something that has to do with the divine intention for all of us to be here. Beautiful, individualized expressions of the One. So I'm grateful that I learned what I can always depend upon is the presence of divine love. No question asked. I can always depend upon it. Now, I may have to remember to stop having a squabble with another person and to come back into that place of infinite love and beautiful compassion. Once I re-enter that sacred space, then isn't it interesting how people sometimes even tend to change? When I quiet my own heart and mind and open up to that beautiful flow of God's love, nobody wants to pick a fight with me. So it's my intention and my obligation and my joy to come back to the presence of divine love that has never left me, not for a moment, and never will. Isn't it funny how we just take ourselves out of that loving presence? It doesn't even make sense. It isn't sane. It isn't. And the world goes insane because it forgets that the divine presence of love is always, always, ever, ever available to us. We just have to move away from all of the Matote as Don Miguel Ruiz says in the Four Agreements. It's all the stuff in the world, all the things that we have mirrored into our life expression. We come back to the love. It's really that simple. What else did I learn to depend upon? What else did I know was absolutely accountable? The law of cause and effect. And, oh, you should see our tomatoes on the veranda. They're amazing. We can hardly keep up with them. It's so beautiful. I'm excited. We're farmers. And it's exciting. And the birds love it. The birds are still visiting them. Apparently, they don't have a nest in one of them, but they come and visit all the time. Maybe they're thinking about moving. I don't know. You know. But it's great. Tomatoes, flowers, and herbs, and everything is growing. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to tell the seed to open up and become a vegetable or a flower. Do you? I do know that if I follow the directions and if I utilize the horticultural law in such a way that I plant what I'd like to reap and then have the delight of reaping it, I'm a real happy farmer. It's the same, of course, with our thoughts. And think about all of the sowing and reaping parables that the master teacher Jesus brought to us. You put the seed in the ground, and it comes up after its own nature. When I'm planting seeds of fear, I'm not likely to be creating or co-creating, more appropriately, happy, beautiful, loving, dynamic circumstances. If I'm planting the seeds of possibility and thinking in blue sky, infinite ideas, as we're told by Thomas Troward, principle is not bound by precedent. I don't know if he really spoke that way. It sounds good, doesn't it? Say it with me. Principle is not bound by precedent. Because the principle of sowing and reaping in our mind, because our mind is some part of God's mind. Isn't that exciting? I believe in this law of mind that produces accurately, always, in a way that can be counted on, what I have planted. I'm not always aware of what I'm planting, though, am I? And sometimes I let in the human race conscious beliefs. Like, oh, don't do that, you'll be sorry, you know, catch or do, you know, all of the old wives things. I don't believe in old wives even. Come to think of it. Even though we're going to be celebrating the 50th anniversary of Karen's parents, this is so exciting. She's not an old wife. She's very young. Yeah, that's great. Imagine being with one beloved person for 50 years. There's another couple. Because they just celebrated theirs, Joe and Joe. They had to get married. They had the same name. We can depend upon the beautiful seeds that we plant, the seeds of love that come up, the seeds of commitment, the seeds of faithfulness, the seeds of shared vision. So what we plant individually in our own mind, consciously, because our conscious mind is some part of the conscious mind of God, that we plant that, we accept it within our own subjectivity, and our subjective mind is some part of the great subconscious mind of God. So God says, let there be, and there is. Let there be, and there is. As we move into the power of using our own word, truth on our tongue, which is the third thing that I learned to understand and depend upon, we're activating a law. It's the same one that the infinite mind uses. We're simply using it in our own finite expression of that life. So I learned early on that I could depend on that. And I learned to rethink what I was going to think that might have been unlovely or might have been limiting in some way. So the third thing that I learned was the power of my authentic word. When I align myself, as you align yourself, with the truth, with the infinite love and wisdom of this universe, this wonderful universe, then I'm able to co-create, and you are able to co-create with the infinite mind and heart of God a beautiful life and a wonderful world. That's why we're here. Ernest Holmes says, in fact, he wrote this with William Kinnear. The book is A New Design for Living. We need to stop denying the nature of the universe. It is good and harmonious. It is for us, not against us. It is not going to be for us tomorrow other than what it is to us today. If we have arrived at the point where we have complete confidence in its perfect action, in its perfect ability to create, maintain, and sustain life within us today, to supply us with all our needs, then that is what it will do for us tomorrow, and on into the future. See, we can count on the infinite intelligence within us and all around us to keep our bodies healthy. Do you know we instantly move toward one of my favorite words? Of course, it has a Greek origin, homeostasis. Say it with me, homeostasis. You cut your finger and instantly everything rushes in there because there's an infinite intelligence that's at work within our bodies and it knows what to do to bring it back to its original wholeness. Isn't it wonderful that when we go to sleep at night, we don't have to tell our hearts to keep beating or tell our lungs to keep breathing or the blood to flow through our bodies? There's an infinite intelligence within us that does that. What a relief. I was really delighted when I found that out. You can go to sleep now. If we would only trust that infinite intelligence within our bodies all day long, to keep us in perfect peace and harmony, because underlying all the stuff that humankind has created, inadvertently has created, underneath it all is the original harmony, the original goodness, the original peace. We can celebrate that by returning, just as our bodies returned to the wholeness that is innate, so we can begin returning to the realization that this is a wonderful world. It is a perfect universe. Harmony is available to us as we become more mindful and accept it into our daily experiences. It's really not so hard. We must refocus our attention, not fueling fear, but fueling faith, because faith is innate. We have faith in things more than we realize sometimes. You know, someone will say, well, I don't have a lot of faith. Well, I have been in hospital settings where somebody has said, you know, I don't know about much about what you do, but so-and-so said, so I said, come on in. And I don't have much faith. And I remember the first time I said, that's okay. I have so much that you can borrow as much as you want. In fact, you can keep it. Because there's always more. But you have faith in the chair you're sitting on right now. Did you sit down wondering if it was going to hold you up or not? Let's exercise the faith muscle that we have and use it in ways that we can really make a difference in our own lives and in the lives of our loved ones and in our community and in the world. Pray without ceasing is a very good advice. Walking around in the awareness, whether you have a purple band on or not, that our thoughts, our feelings, and our words, when they are in alignment with the divine, can co-create the most wonderful world and universe for us. And I think it's important for us to move away from the concept that God's up there and we're here. That God created the world and then became an absent landlord. This divine intelligence continues to express in, through, and as all of its creation. There's the spirit, there's the soul of God, there's the body of God. The body of God is everything we can see. We can't be outside of it except when we forget. And when we make a mistake about choosing an idea, a word, a belief that's not loving and not creative and not happily growth-producing, and we make a mistake, that's what it is, you see, because you don't hear much here about sin. And you know that's from the ancient Hebrew, an archery term was just, you missed the mark in archery. Sin. That's the transliteration, as close as I can get. If you make a mistake and you miss the mark, what do? You go, oh, thank you for showing me that I can do it better. And Ernest Holmes said, well, there's no sin but a mistake. And no punishment but a natural consequence. It's just a natural consequence. Nobody's mad at you. The universe loves you. The divine mind and heart of God created you out of itself and adores you. Thou art my beloved in whom I am well pleased. When are we going to start really believing that? Because it's the truth. When we become accountable for our thoughts and our feelings and our words, we then find ourselves in alignment. We have the power to co-create the most wonderful opportunities for ourselves, for our loved ones, and for the world. You know, Ernest Holmes started every talk, every radio, and eventually every television program with, say it with me, there is a power for good in the universe greater than you are, and you can use it. And what's the next step? There is a power for good in the universe greater than you are, and it can use you. Use me. Don't you love that song? Use me. Let me be the instrument. Francis had it right. The instrument of peace, the instrument of love, the instrument of compassion, the instrument of wisdom, the instrument of joy. Don't you know God wants to have a good time by means of you? That may sound sacrilegious, but I mean it. I love being open and receptive to the joy of God that wants to express itself into and as every single one of us. Divine love is a constant. It is eternal. Let's take this week to remind ourselves of that as often as possible. I can touch it. It is always touching me. I can just get quiet for a moment. If you're on a break at work, go into another room, open up your heart and just say, here I am. I'm listening. I want to feel this love. I want to remember. I want to remember who I am. Divine mind is dependable and accurate. I can count on the law to return to me what I am planting. Am I planting thoughts of love, of union? Am I planting thoughts of inclusivity? Am I planting thoughts of possibility? Am I aligning my mind with the mind of God and allowing that infinite intelligence to work through me so that the law returns to me what I choose? If I would like to plant watermelon, I am not going to plant petunia seeds. It's just as simple as that. And your part in this beautiful co-creative process, because that's what it is to be absolutely accountable to do your best, for us all to do our best every day to keep our eyes single. And as Meister Eckhart said, just let God be God in you. Then we're accountable in the most absolutely beautiful way. Will you say with me, I trust the universal presence of love. I trust the universal presence of love. I trust the dependability of the law. I trust the dependability of the law. I trust my innate ability to court the presence. I trust my innate ability to court the presence. I trust my ability to direct the law. I trust my ability to direct the law. I trust my conscious creative intention. I trust my conscious creative intention. And oh, I believe you with all my heart. And so, my beloveds, beginneth our lesson. Thank you for listening to our podcast. We love having such a special means of connecting with you and trust you have enjoyed this message. If you have benefited from and been uplifted by these ideas and would like to learn more about our spiritual community, please go to our website at cslphilly.com. And if you wish to express your gratitude, simply click on the donate button to experience the joy of conscious giving. Your generous support makes it possible to share these messages of inspiration with all the world. Please share this message with anyone you feel might benefit and encourage them to subscribe to our podcast by searching GPCSL on your favorite podcasting application. Again, thank you for joining me and the Greater Philadelphia Center for Spiritual Living Community as together we create a world that works for all.